I'm Sarah Turney.
And I'm Courtney Nicole.
We're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, The Final Hours.
Crime has impacted both of our families, teaching us how the last conversations, the missed red flags, can change everything.
On The Final Hours, we examine the moments before a disappearance and the questions that never got answered. A podcast that puts the moments before a disappearance under a microscope.
Listen to and follow The Final Hours, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hard to believe it's already Friday and that game is tomorrow night. I don't know. Every time everyone's been like, oh, it's Saturday, I just get thrown off for some reason.
I know. And it just has kind of felt so far away for so long, just because like we finally got past Michigan and all that, and then now it's here. Big Ten Championship game. Let's go.
I also think Thanksgiving just wrecked with a lot of people as far as for this week is concerned. I think this week, it didn't feel long for me. I was talking to a friend earlier today, though, and he's like, man, this week really felt long, didn't it? And I'm like, it felt fine for me, but no, I get why for a lot of people it did.
It was cool for me. And that's included, like, usually on a Friday, like, you know, I'd be home, like, plenty by now, you know, so like even for me still not being home, like
I am plenty by now.
Yeah, like
what have you done at work? You don't have to admit that. I don't know. I know your boss listens. As far as I know, never leave the office.
Here's the thing though, like he's kind of like a bad example for me because like he'll be like packing up his stuff and he'll look at me and he'll be like, go home. And then I just do.
That's a good boss, though.
It is.
That's good.
Awesome.
I like that.
Awesome.
Instead of looking at you and being like, if I was, so I'd like to think if I owned a company, that's how I would run it as well. I would be the person that's like, go home. But it would. I know me well enough to know that if the quotas were met, and I'm sure you're meeting them, if the quotas were met, I'd be the best boss in the world.
Yeah, because he knows. Like, look, like I'm going to book an interview for my show over a family obligation. You know, like it's
there's
a
loyalty that you've shown.
He knows that I care. Yeah.
There's loyalty that you've shown, and even discussing that earlier today might have just been that was a good business move on your behalf, is what that was. No,
I don't know. I don't really get it. Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I mean, the whole point of the story is that basically you're choosing your work over your fiance.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you wanted to do like a TLDR version of that, an Odyssey Rewind 440, it's basically Nick's very confused about why we continue to have Thanksgivings a week later than we have them. And also, maybe not the world's greatest fiance, but hey, stand up employee. Did I miss that, Mac?
I guess so.
No, pretty dead on.
Now that we're retelling it, was this all just for your boss? Is that all this was? Was
no.
this like one big con so that your boss could hear that and then be like, "Whoa, he really does take this seriously, doesn't he?" This man's working on Saturday. He's giving up his second Thanksgiving. Be really funny if your boss was really into that. Like, oh wow, yeah, we have three Thanksgivings too.
No. What's crazy is he got the whole story before you did, and he kind of gave me the same reaction.
Yeah, so. No, shocker. You told your boss the story where you put the company way before your own family life. I mean, what are we doing here? that's not even you being blissfully unaware. That's just good job security is what I call that.
I guess so.
You unintentionally are doing a lot of things right is kind of the takeaway here.
Yeah, I think maybe. I'm just stumbling through life, dude. That's really what this is. I mean, this is how the expression goes. You just let the kid touch the stove. This is me with my full bare palm on the stove.
Is that right?
Every single day when I wake up, it's a miracle that I find my way back to the bed.
You know why it works for you?
Why?
It's because you have that mentality. That's why it works for you, is because you have the mentality of somebody that appears and is that way, and it's just matches, so it's very authentic. Whereas if you were that in the way you are, while then also trying to appear any other way, I think it would just fall extremely flat on its face.
I will take that as a compliment.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's very nice. You're 26, 27 years old. You have not only identified who you are as a human, but you've embraced yourself and you've wrapped yourself around that. And I think that is very clear to people. That's a good thing. It takes people a lot longer than 26, 27 to figure that stuff out.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, because I just feel like any other way, I would just be like faking it, you know, and it's just... I don't know. Then it would just be weird. Like, imagine, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that.
There's many points where you just give off like a dude, where's my car vibe. Also, maybe mixed with like one of those early Chappelle, Neil Brennan stoner movies. And it's very confusing, but also very endearing to me in many, many ways. All right. 216-474 to below 92. Is it Ramadi? Is that right? In Cleveland, up next in the Fan. Hello.
Ramadi.
Ramadi. Apologies for that. Go ahead, Ramadi.
Man,
I just was calling, man. I'm gonna love the show. I listen to y'all on my way home every day.
Well, thank you for that. And, what's on your mind?
Man, I was just talking to my buddy, man. We played football all our lives, right? I was part of those 90s St. Ignatius teams. And we had talent, man. I just say football is about having talent on the field. That's why Alabama and the OT are so good. And all the other teams in the NFL who have, like, talented wide receivers, no wonder they're putting up points. I just think Stewart's and any quarterback that gets in there is already hamstrung because of the lack of talent he has on the offensive side. You know what I'm saying? We're building up the defense, but I believe we don't spend every pick we got in the draft on offensive talent and getting some playmakers and some people who can stretch the field. You know, nobody's scared of what we got. You go into a defensive planning meeting, who do you put on the board? Like, Junkins? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you put on the board? Like, who are we scared of? So, like, we're playing with a bunch of number twos at best, and the guy who's arguing on the sidelines is the guy who's led the league in drops for the last couple of years. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I've been a Browns fan all my life, but it's kind of hard right now. But I believe we could turn it around, man. What you guys think?
All right, thank you, man. Appreciate you. And, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, the talent part of this is obviously it's clear. And I constantly wonder to myself, and this is where I do give Dylan more of a benefit of the doubt than some others, is the idea that whether it's Dylan, whether it's Shador, or even Flacco in the beginning part of the year, if you put Patrick Mahomes on this roster, I go to Mahomes with reason. He has not been given a bunch, and you've watched his offensive line in particular this year. They've struggled. Both tackles have been absolutely killer for him.
Yep.
And he doesn't really ever have a bunch of talent, but then you look at it, and now for 3 years, he has not really put up awesome numbers from a statistical standpoint. He's still been able to win games because their defense in many ways have been able to do a lot of different things as well. But he's not put up crazy numbers. But if you put one of those type of guys on this Browns offense, I think we can all agree they were going to struggle.
You know, the part of that call that made me giggle, and it is so true, because like, you play sports at any level, like elementary school sports, you know the kids on the other team that you've got to account for. So when these teams, like when the Titans are scheming up against the Browns offense right now, like, probably is Quinshon Judkins is like the
That's
one
That's what the 49ers
guy.
Did.
Yeah.
The 49ers' whole game plan, especially in that second half, is as Quinshon talked about them putting 8-9 in the box and mixing it up and changing their pre-snap looks and everything. It was all to go ahead and make Quinshon try to be stopped.
Like, that's really...
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, like, that's it? Like, imagine right now, like, somewhere in Tennessee, they're talking about this Browns offense, and it's like, Cedric Tillman, what do we know about him? And it's like, well, he's not really an NFL player. Like, who else they got? Like, Jamari Thrash. Oh, he hasn't even played in 2 weeks. You wouldn't have known because he barely makes a difference when he is on the field. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is kind of easy to game plan for an offense like the Browns because there's just not much they can do.
Well, and even with Shador and not understanding, or not understanding is the wrong way to put that, but not having the connection with some of these guys either. Like, you saw the first seven completions he had in that game, they went to six different wide receivers.
Yep.
Like, he's not going to isolate on to anybody, and he's not going to be
figuring this out in real time.
Exactly right. And you're going to have moments where I think he's going to, whoever's hot in the right moment. That's why he's had a couple games, and we've already seen the connection with Fannin, and you can see, like, all right, so we trust Fannin, so maybe that's somebody they have to key into and that connection, but it's just, there just isn't enough of them. 216-474-0092, Mike and Stowe. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good evening, guys. It's still a Nick and Jonathan show, regardless.
No, right? the YouTube chat has definitely become very aware of that, by the way. Padone, Jake is telling me Padone's being called Nick Light on YouTube. And so, either way, it works.
I'm just going, Nick. It is what it is. It's not misspoken that way.
I don't think that was a fat joke by YouTube either. I don't think that's what they were doing, but I'm not sure.
I don't go there. I once was a heavier guy. I'm not anymore. I don't shame. Either get over it or live with it, one of the two.
I'm with you there.
So I wanted to, when I called earlier, you were kind of kicking around, is a win against Tennessee, you know, do anything for this team? And I know Nick's a younger guy, and he's got that maybe a little bit more of that participation trophy mentality. And I don't mean that bad. I don't mean that bad. I swear to God.
Participation trophy.
Tell me how you mean that good.
Yeah, jeez.
Well, I guess what I mean is this. What will make me feel better about being when I'm on the Browns is, like, you know, the last caller was getting to it. You know, when you think about our defense and you're on that defense, you feel like, you know, Mason Graham, when he goes suits up with those guys, got to be like, man, this is awesome. I know our defense isn't good. But that's exactly where we just need to really continue to work on it. So a win doesn't really do much for us because, like you said, Jonathan, we're going to get pounded after this week. This is a team that should be rolling over for us. We'll see what happens, like the Raiders did a couple weeks ago. That offensive line performance by the Raiders, you know, it didn't hurt Miles none, but that was ole all the way. So I just think, like, no win doesn't do enough for us because then you're going to get your butt handed to you like multiple times rest. What's going to do more for us is starting to build threats. Harold Fannin started talking about it. That's what's going to make people feel better. You know, getting real legitimate people on the offense that people fear, like we've got on the defense. We've got four guys on that defense that people are thinking about, you know, Carson and Miles and Denzel, you know, and Mason and even a couple other guys. We, you know, the other people are developing up the defensive line. But here's the thing I wanted to kick. One more thing about the draft. The other reason everybody always thinks, well, you got to tank for a quarterback. Got to tank for a quarterback. No, you might tank for the best offensive lineman. You know, it doesn't mean, like, if the quarterbacks aren't the sure thing, so be it. We'll take a left tackle, guys, and we'll wait and see what happens because you don't have to take a quarterback at the top just because you're there. You can take the maybe Arvell Reese. We don't need another defender. I get it, but man, that'd be pretty cool, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. And Mike, on your point there, the difference between, I don't know, being the 8 and 11 pick overall could be Tristan Wirfs and Jedrick Wills.
Correct, and that makes a big difference when you're talking about a we already know what happens when you get down there, and it isn't a guarantee. I know that, and we've done it in the past, and I know that, but that doesn't mean that you don't still keep trying to do what's the best course of action, and I just don't think winning a game against a crappy team when you are a crappy team does much for you. About three spots in that draft, especially when you're talking about a team you could face a tiebreaker to, that's why the Raiders loss really stunk. Is, you know, these tiebreakers. We got that against the Jets. We hated that loss a few weeks ago. That might really come back to help us, though. So I just, you know, hey, I know I want a better future. I'm not a tank lover, but I do embrace the possibility of getting a better player by losing a few more games at this point in the season. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you, man, as always.
I feel like I'm losing my mind over here.
That's
like,
fine. You're just a young kid with participation trophies. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm a dissenting opinion because I want the Browns to win football games.
Don't know what to tell you. That participation trophy of yours, it's looking real shiny right now. Real shiny.
No, it's not because I don't have many wins. All I have is I participated in this season. That's the participation trophy. I want to win so bad.
In case we missed it, next, right here in the Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.